Well, it was actually, we decided to shift it to a podcast, but we created the concept of sharing these types of ideas. Actually, we thought we would come up with like gatherings. I think that's the original idea of Liwanag. But then there was a group of younger guys who were able to do something and start something. I think they did an event in Tagaytay.
They did. Actually,
they used the name. We didn't have a problem with that. We were actually very supportive of it. They gave us credit for it as well. And then during the pandemic, we decided, hey, everyone's been listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos. Why don't we try to share our light this way?
And how about you, Ayan? Like, so we were just talking a while ago about like the shift into the digital world, and like you just said you're super busy, you know, where to next, and you just mentioned your podcast. Like, maybe you can like share like what's been happening in your life these days.
I think I've gone through so many cycles of the quarantine. Like, at the start of the lockdown, I felt like I can make the most out of this. I'm gonna say yes to all the projects that's possible within the confines of my home. So that included like building a lot of virtual programs for different companies, even for Where to Next. And yeah, we started a podcast, the Mooney on this one. But I've also had a lot of days where I felt like I had zero motivation to do anything. Or I've gone through so many hobbies as well. Like, I've taught myself how to bake. I never baked before.
Wow.
We got a cat, so I'm a cat mom now.
That's
and
huge.
Now I'm trying pottery as well. So it's just like, it's a mix of breakdowns and then hobbies and then trying to do work that still matters, I feel. And it's not like I have good days and bad days, just like anyone, but maybe the joy of what I figured out was that there was still a way to gather people, you know, to have this kind of conversations online, which I never fully explored pre-pandemic, because there was always the opportunity to just go outside, meet with people, go on trips. And now that there's so much restriction, you kind of need to be more creative. And so it's been fun to figure out this space and maybe not try to own it, but to feel like I'm someone credible enough that I can say that I can build communities and have conversations like and facilitate conversations even in this quarantine setting. But yeah, it's still work in progress, and some days I don't want to do anything. But most days, like, I try to remember that, you know, things are still possible even though we're currently in this situation.
You said you were creating digital content. What type of content were you making for companies?
So even prior to the pandemic, the brand that I built with my friend Rachel is Where to Next. So it's always been digital in terms of nature. Like, we create content, we have products that are also digital or physical products that we sell online. But we never really pursued the learning aspect of it because we always had the physical workshops and events. So we realized, like, we were set to do a project, like a major project for a grant prior to the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit. So all of the plans of like going on trips, meeting these communities, they were all like, you know, down the drain. But the foundation that we were working with, Forest Foundation Philippines, they said, you know, let's still push through with the grant and let's see what is possible with given the limitations. And so we created this thing called Life Stories Camp, which is basically a digital version of what we used to do offline. So Life Stories is about, instead of having theories or presentations, the story of the person is the content. And we build the gathering around that story. So in the camp, we reached out to 10 people from different provinces, community builders on their own right, like teachers, researchers, writers, creatives. And we built this camp online on Zoom for 3 days, teaching them how to facilitate meaningful conversations, whether that's online or offline. Yeah, another one is we have this project called Artist Promise, where we collaborated with different illustrators, photographers, and writers. And we created an ebook together. And we sold that ebook, and all of the proceeds helps people, vulnerable communities during the quarantine, as well as our frontliners. So just finding ways to do things that mentally, mentally challenge me, but at the same time feels bigger than me in terms of purpose, since we really try to connect it to certain advocacies that we work with. I do stuff also for profit, for clients, but...
We have to.
Those are the things... Yeah. I don't really want to talk about that.
You don't need to.
So I try to balance it out and still do things that feed my soul, if that makes sense.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, of course. So
you need that, especially now.
We're all trying to find that sort of balance of working within the system while still pursuing things that are really meaningful to us.
You don't always get to achieve that balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continuous learning process,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Have you developed like new rituals in this the last 8 months in terms of like self-care or like how to like manage, you know, all this like virtual work? What are your new rituals?
I think one thing I discovered was I was really a workaholic, as in all of my hobbies and things that I enjoyed pre-pandemic were still related to work. So it's kind of, I don't know if that's sad or whatever. Like, it's always, I find a way to make it part of my work. Like before I would climb and then we would hold like climbing events and content about climbing and all this stuff. So during the quarantine, I realized like I should get a hobby that's not related to work, that's not profitable in nature.
Yeah.
And so that's when I tried pottery, and I feel like I'll try not to sell any pottery stuff because it's just so bad that everything becomes part of work, which I guess is, as a freelancer and like self-employed person, you need to be madiskarte and you need to be creative and try to utilize as many talents and skills as possible. But every time something becomes work, obviously, it's no longer as enjoyable as... It's not the same, because there's always a component that you hate or that you dislike.
Yeah.
And so self-care-wise, I'm just trying to find things that I just want to do purely because of it, like just the process of it, and not have to think about the actual outcome or the response from an audience, which is hard because I've been a workaholic for so many years. I don't know how to turn it off, but we advocate for self-care and all these things online, so I might as well not be a hypocrite and try to do the same for myself. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm the most mindful self-preservation kind of person, but the pottery and having a pet and just doing nothing has helped me tremendously in terms of like really bad times as well.
No, yeah, that's really, I think like I've tried pottery for like 3 days in Bali late last year, and it's so therapeutic but also so challenging.
So annoying.
Like, oh my god. But like, I remember wanting to really die. I really wanted to actually do like an intensive course in it to just lose myself in it, because it was so, it really provoked me. But I can also see that if I got good at it, I would also probably monetize it, because I think we're the same in that aspect. We're also freelancers. You know, we don't work for anybody. So there's always that fear and that insecurity of, am I going to get paid? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to, you know, but like, especially now, a lot of people don't have work and, you know, people are getting pay cuts. Like, there's that heightened sense of urgency to hustle. But like, at the same time, you're getting anxious because it's like, man, there's a pandemic. There's a global pandemic. Like, how are you supposed to, you know, like, balance that thing out? And, you know, like, it's funny when you said, I got so triggered when you said you monetize everything that you're interested in. And it's, you know, with me, I started getting into painting in this pandemic. But like, for some reason, I always feel the need to share. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's something about, you know, and it's just...
Maybe because I'm an extrovert. I need people to know what
I want some validation.
I want validation.
It can even be self-validation. Because I was telling Nikki this. A lot of times when I story, it's so that I can look back on the memory and be like, oh yeah, this really happened. It's not like... it can, I mean, the validation from other people definitely gives everybody that rush, right?
Where yeah.
It feels good. Na parang, oh wow, someone said good job, or like, that's so nice, or what you're doing is super cool. But honestly, when I go back on stories like from a year ago, 2 years ago, I feel better looking at them, seeing, wow, that actually happened. I remember that, versus the feeling I got when somebody said, oh wow, that's super cool. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like traveling also, right? Like you enjoy sometimes traveling in retrospect because you're looking at your photos and you notice you don't remember all the shitty stuff, like, you know, missing your bus ride or your airplane or someone stealing your wallet. You just think about all the sunsets and laughter and stuff like that. So, I mean, I also see the purpose of documenting bad days. I mean, maybe not on Instagram because it's not really like the best platform for that. But I think there's value in documenting whatever you're going through and going back at it and realizing how far you've come from that point to this point.
I totally agree. I think that, like, I think at one point, like maybe a couple of months ago, I think I maxed out the story limit. Because I was reposting like memories from like 2 years ago, and I was like, wow, this is so great. This, and I did it for like a week, and people were like saying, what are you doing? Like, why are you posting everything? But it's a nostalgia trip. It makes you feel good, diba?
Yeah.
And
it's that's a millennial scrapbook.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, like I remember like when I moved out, when my mom was moving out from her house, the house where we grew up in, I started like unearthing like my old journals and like just like scrapbooks and stuff, and I was like, man, I have not changed. I'm still the same person. Like, it's just that, like, parang, you know, it's the scale of it changed. I guess problems were a bit more complicated, but in essence, like, I haven't changed much, and it's like, it's pretty interesting to kind of observe that, like your patterns and stuff. Like, do you ever do that? Like, kind of like look back at like how you were in like high school and college, and then like now, like, okay, how am I? Or like, have I evolved, or am I still the same person at the core?
I think we evolve in such a way because we go through so many other experiences, but like core values or like our core strengths, I don't think they change that much over time. I still feel like I still have the insatiable curiosity I had when I was younger, but maybe I'm just more pragmatic now because I know like the limitations or like possible hurdles, but I try to remember what it's like when I was younger, and I'm just like gung-ho about everything and I'm just game. So when I do have like an opportunity or a project or even like a hobby that I feel super excited about, then I just try to lean in towards that feeling rather than think, no, oh, it's mahal, or like, you won't be good at it, la la la. Because even in the pottery, I wasn't good at it, which I hate because I'm a competitive person and I want to be good at everything that I do. I think core values at the heart of it, I've taken so many personality tests, like my strengths and stuff like that. So I kind of have an idea of what I value and what I believe in, and I try to remember that when I have like my own like periodical existential crisis, which I think a lot of people go through, especially now during quarantine, of like, who am I? What kind of career do I really want to build? Do I even want to take this route, or do I just, you know, stop and pivot somewhere else? And pivot has been the word of this time, pivoting a lot of businesses.
Yep.
Or like I've had friends who were like in marketing or ad agencies then become bakers all of a sudden. And it's just, you know, a time to rediscover things you're interested in, but maybe at the heart of it, what you believe in, what kind of life you want to pursue remains the same.
Yeah, yeah. What have you realized regarding that though? I mean, like, you know, like where to next is, you know, it has a, you guys have a pretty big community, and I am a big fan. So it's like, you know, like, but like now the world has changed. Like, what has changed for you in terms of like, you know, I guess what you want in terms of career, or, you know, like your passions?
I think I'm leaning towards a more slow life. I don't know. I don't know what slowness means for me. For someone who's just been always saying yes to so many things, I've been like dragging myself, like in pottery, like the clay, I've put so much tension because I've been doing so many things, like from different directions. And now I just want to kind of not stretch myself too thinly,
yeah,
and just focus on a few things that I can really hone. So I think one of those things is we do want to get more into like writing zines and
nice.
Books rather than always doing the more commercial type of products that is like the planner and our
yeah.
content online. And maybe we're now in a position where we've built enough people who look or pay attention to what we do that we can experiment and try
yeah.
something new. So that's what I'm excited about. And I don't know. Yeah, I just want to be a person that has hobbies that
yeah.
is not related to work. I don't
yeah.
know. It feels like my personal achievement. I bought a bike also. So I just want to be able to explore my neighborhood. Maybe spend a few months outside of Metro Manila and really slow down. I think that's my word, like to slow down. But at the same time, to not forget the privilege that I have to be able to slow down. Because I feel like not everyone can say, you know, I want a hobby that's, you know, it's not profitable. It's very privileged thing
really
to say.
Yeah.
So I try to remember that while I have this focus of slowing down for myself, when I do speed up or when I do work hard, I want it to mean something else for other people too. Whether it's, you know, just being able to contribute a small part of my art or our audience to causes that we believe in. I mean, it could be as simple as that since you already have that space. And also another is like volunteering my skills talaga towards certain organizations. But I am worry about like, helpers burnout or something like that, like donor
yeah.
fatigue
yeah,
or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So I try to balance it out because at the start of the quarantine, I was doing so much pro bono work, just helping out as much as I can. But, you know, I don't get anything from it in terms of monetary. So it was also hard to find that balance. So I can't save the world, but, you know, maybe sometimes our art or our work can mean something to certain groups of people, can enable them to also slow down and revisit what kind of choices they can make. To me, that's good enough.
You know, being in La Union has really highlighted you know, what it really means to slow down. Like, because I see people who are like surfing all day and then they work for like an hour or two. And I'm like, in my head, how do you do that? Like, I'm still here in survival mode. I'm just trying to like take care of myself, you know, since it's like I'm starting over, you know, from zero. And, you know, like I can't seem to like, I guess, get into that mode yet. And I know it'll take
yeah.
some time, but like, I guess it's a really blatant reminder. I see it every day that everyone's by the beach, everyone's just, you know, super chill. And, you know, I think that's the thing. I mean, like, it's the awareness, right? Like, even if you're not really there yet, just seeing that, okay, you know, I'm here.
It's
and
possible.
It's possible it's not an automatic switch.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that I would be super chill coming here, but I still have a lot of anxiety, you know, like, because, like, I'm coming from 7 months of being in quarantine. So,
yeah,
you know, that affects you. That affects your psyche, the way you process. I mean, I told you, Kanina, that for me, this is the natural conversation, not the outside world, diba?
Yeah.
How about you, Snap? I mean, you get to go out pretty often. Like, what's it? How do you feel
get
about...
To go, get
what's
to go
the real
out
world
is,
like?
Is not,
yeah.
is not the, I don't think that's the operative term.
Not to go out, but you
word.
Go a lot of field work.
You
do a lot of field
to
work.
Go out. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you do
to
a lot of field
out.
Work,
it's
yeah.
It's a lot quieter than it used to be. There's a lot less people. There's less people. It helps me with my work because then to navigate through less bullshit. I don't want to expound on that, but it's easier for me to get from point A to point B because there's less people on the road, for example, or less
yeah.
people in the airport, less people in the city that I have to be in or province that I have to be in. And it's like a totally different, it's a new normal. Like we hear that all the time, right? It's the new normal. I would like to think it's the temporary normal. And once the vaccine arrives, that's when we proceed to the new normal. Because the new normal should not be what it was before, right? Like we've had this conversation. Yeah. The new normal should be better. We all have to be better as a community, as a country, as a people. Like, this is the earth saying, yo, guys, wake the fuck up. Because I'm correcting myself and the earth will still be here. Not so sure if humanity will, so parang get in line. But going out, there's still that anxiety. You know, I get tested twice, thrice a week. I can't count na how many times that swab thing has been put inside my nose. Sanay na, as in, the tearing never goes away. Kasi it, when they rub it inside, it really triggers something. So magluluha ka talaga. Pero like I'm so used to it to the point now when I have to do it, I just go like that and inhale. The key people go is to inhale. Yeah, if you don't inhale, kasi it closes the passage. So that's when it hurts. Because then they kind of have to ram it in.
I didn't
so
know that.
When you inhale as they're pushing it in, it goes straight in. And then that's when they can rub it quickly and then take it out right away. In provinces where there's no COVID-19, honestly, it's kind of the same. But in provinces where there are cases of local transmission, especially, it's kind of like what the Metro Manila was in May, June. People are still a bit scared to go out, rightfully so.
At least for me and my group of friends, people are more empathetic in the sense that, like, I told Nick I had a cough last week. And so, I mean, I told everyone that I was supposed to meet or, like, go outside or even, like, walk together. I'm like, no, I can't because I have a cough. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's better that I stay. And I remember that when I used to travel, I would still travel regardless if I felt a little sicker under the weather. Yeah. And no one really cared about that.
Yeah,
we've had so many conferences where people like
were sick, super coughing, and like,
and you never thought about it. And like now it's so simple of like, if you don't feel well, then don't go out.
Which is great, though. I think it's important, though, because we are in this new era wherein this is not the last pandemic, 100%.
Yeah. Every 100 years, this happens, right? So probability-wise, it's definitely not going to be the last one. But to your point, Ian, like, if I see someone coughing somewhere, the immediate reaction is, whoa. Parang, diba? Everyone. Kasi there's that fear. And good thing, like you said, there is also that empathy or form of awareness of people. Like, for example, like you said, you had a cough, so you told your friends, I don't think I'll be able to walk with you. Or like, let me just shake this off. And as soon as I've been checked and everything, then all good.
Yeah.
And that's the way to go. I mean, test. Because a lot of people are saying isolate, quarantine, this and that. Yeah, those are good measures as well. But then you're taking away the human interaction. And for me, that's very difficult. And it's been quite long. An action part has to come back, even a bit.
It has to talaga.
Actually, the thing is, like, here in La Union, like, you know, there are people that have come up who are my friends or, like, you know, people who I know. And I noticed there is a shift, though. In like in terms of consent, like parang for example, like we're in a cafe, everyone's socially distanced, you're not wearing a mask, parang they'll say, let's say I haven't seen you, and then they'll say, hey, how are you, are you praning or are you okay, like parang
your level of comfort.
They ask na, like some will say, can I, are you okay making high five, beso, you know, so parang for me, I actually like that, like rather than it just being, let's make beso for the sake of making beso. Like, here, there is, like, you are, I guess, thinking of the well-being of other people. You know, there is mindfulness, which I've been seeing a lot. You know, like, when people go into a restaurant, and even though people are, because, like, you know, here, they're like carinderias. But you would think that people don't observe, but they do. You know, when someone enters, they wear the mask, and then when they eat, they remove it. And I think it's already becoming part of the consciousness, which I think is good, because you would think kasi people would be so praning. Actually, the ones from Manila are the ones who are a bit more, I'm not gonna talk to you, I'm just gonna stay here. But, you know, some
people... Well, because they're the ones bringing the...
Because they're the ones bringing the damn... Yeah, exactly, no. Exactly.
I think more than anything, it's that we don't want to infect people outside of Metro Manila. You don't want to be labeled as the person...
Yeah.
Who person brought zero. The virus. Diba? Parang ang hirap nun.
Yeah.
The whole community, for example, in LU will be like, it's not a small town, but the chatter is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, an incident happens. Everybody's talking about it for days.
But it's hard also for the business owners, right? Like, people need to open up because that's their source of livelihood. But at the same time, they're also risking their health and themselves when people, you know, come from places that have a lot of cases. So it's a hard thing kind of navigate. And it would be helpful if we had more like support, structural support to really implement it. It's really nice to see like culturally how we've been wearing masks all the time compared to other countries and groups of people that are, you know, even have like anti-mask campaigns and stuff like that, which is...
But what are you looking forward to, Ayan? Like in the next... It's almost 2021, believe it or not. Less than 2 months.
Yeah, it's going to be... And I feel like, you know, it's going to be 1 year now. Like, I feel March is like right around the corner. I don't know what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to just... But I wanted to share that there was a time I was really, really anxious. And I talked to a psychiatrist for the first time in my life because I felt like I've always been an anxious, overthinking kind of person. But it felt like it was too much now, like debilitating. So I asked her, like, is there something wrong with me? And then I made cuento, all of the things that I was doing, of like randomly crying and stuff. And she was like, oh, you're just reacting normally to an abnormal, extraordinary situation.
Yeah.
And I mean, she went through the whole checklist of like the thoughts of self-harm, stuff like that. Yeah, I'm like, no. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, you don't have clinical anxiety. You just have anxiety that's caused by, you know, what's happening right now. And as long as you take care of yourself and you just check in with me again in a month's time to see if you're still okay, then you just need the rest. So I guess I'm looking forward to the time that, you know, it's no longer as abnormal, that we've all kind of settled into our new norms and routines. And you can feel like there's a sigh of relief. I haven't gone through that yet. I feel like, for example, like in US elections, when Trump lost, at least like projected loss, a lot of people had like this sigh of relief for 4 years of being under a leader that they didn't believe in, or they didn't think they was serving them or was by their side. So I guess I want that kind of sigh of relief that, you know, things are working and that the next normal is a world that, you know, works for more people. And we live in a country that feels like, you know, our voices and our freedoms are valued. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know if we'll get there, but I mean, it's always inch by inch, step by step. And yeah, hopefully I'll also be able to manage my anxiety and just be able to ride the waves more smoothly, whatever that next wave will be.
No, that's I think I totally agree with you. I resonate with the anxiety. And, you know, I think people, I've been seeing a psychiatrist too for like, every month, you know, this whole pandemic, because it helps, you know. You got to talk to some, you know, there's no shame in talking to a professional.
No shame.
Really no shame. And especially in these times, you got to use, you know, the tools. They're here, the people, the professionals who can help you out. And, you know, it is a collective anxiety. It's not just a personal, you know, it's not isolated to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people should take not comfort, but like should realize that we're all going through it. You know, it's not
just...
We're all... Everyone.
And I guess if you can't afford a professional or it's not something that you're comfortable with, it's also just something that you can do with your immediate support system.
Mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
actually asking people how they are
and
skipping or, you know, moving beyond the small talk.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Oh, how are you? Yep. Or what did you watch on Netflix? Yeah. Or like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, just ask, like, how are you, like, you know, mentally? Oh, like, how's your well-being?
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to help you. And when I reached that point, I think I also become more in tune with what was happening with my friends or my immediate circle, because they also do decide. I mean, when I said, oh yeah, I'm not feeling so good, I'm just going through this thing, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going through that too, or I just gone through that phase, but I never really told anyone, or you know, no one ever bothered to ask, so you never really just blurred it out. But I've always been like more an open book, like I like sharing my feelings even to strangers online. And so I think it helped to just have someone get the ball rolling. And if you can be that person in your group, just asking, you know, let's have like a mental health check-in, like, how are you guys? How are you coping with this pandemic? What can we do as a group to make things feel a little lighter? Then that's a good adjustment that we can do within our circles to help one another.
100%. Check on your friends.
Definitely.
Check on your loved ones. Like,
and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Especially like, the extroverts.
Yeah. You really have to ask, like, you know, skip the small talk. Just say, how's life? How are you? You okay? You know, it really...
Or even do the opposite. Like what you and I do, Nikki. When one of us feels bad,
Be careful with your words, man.
We are not super emotional guys.
There's no shame.
But when one of us feels bad, this really happens. We call each other.
Yeah.
And be like, yo, man, this thing's happening right now. I don't really know what's up. And like, we just hash through it for like sometimes hours.
Before we know it,
we're like 2-3 hours into the call.
For
anything, this is just like, I don't know, like 10-11 p.m. one time it was like 1 a.m You called me at like 1 a.m then we were just talking for like I think an hour or 2 hours. One time I called him, we were talking for 3 hours.
Bros gotta reach out to bros too, you know. You can't just
that's
just
true
no really shame. Have to, man.
No shame,
dude.
Because
girls, we share feelings. I don't want to generalize genders because we're like complex human beings, but I feel like within my circles of girls, like we always share feelings, like it's common talk. But with guys, I mean, when I ask my boyfriend or like my other guy friends, like, what do you talk about with your like group of guy friends? And you're like, oh, you know, games or sports. I mean, I don't want to generalize, but feelings don't always show up. It's not something that's part of the schedule.
You have
to like kind of, you know, break open the cycle up in some ways and open up before people start becoming comfortable. And I think one thing I'm also learning is that, you know, opening up that conversation is also different from like mindfully listening to that person. Because I, again, as a person that just project manages and monetizes everything, I'm always like in problem solving mode. So when someone tells me their problem, I'm always offering suggestions right away, when actually they don't really need that. Sometimes they already know what to do.
And they just need someone to hear them out. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is kind of hard sometimes when, you know, you're ADD or you just want to, fix. Yeah. Go fix it.
Yeah.
But there's no fix if they're not the one, you know, solving the problem in the first place.
I think the beauty of like Zoom and, you know, all these like WhatsApp and stuff is that if you can't, I mean, I also have a hard time shutting up, but like sometimes when I can't, I mute myself and let them talk. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're an extrovert and you can't stop talking, mute yourself and let them talk so you can listen.
That's true.
Really.
Yep, that's true. Or like just I talk to myself like, shut up, don't think about suggestions.
Yeah, yeah. You have to kind of
remind yourself.
Just freaking
listen.
But yeah, no, Ayan, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're busy and it was great reconnecting with you again. The last time I saw you was before the pandemic.
Yeah. I think it was...
We had plans, but it'll happen.
No, we had plans. It was December.
Yeah. But yeah, take care, and I'm looking forward to seeing your ceramic collection.
Thank you.
But I will not monetize, or maybe I will. I don't know.
Or barter. That's not monetizing. Barter.
Well, play it by ear.
Yeah. I can change my
mind. You can change your mind.
Flow.
We can all change
you
our mind.
You can change your mind.
Nothing is set in stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Anytime. Exactly.